We find in this gospel a remarkable comparison. We find a man crying out for God, a God who calls out to man. It's incredible. We have this character, this Bartimaeus. Really, it's fascinating in so many ways to know that his name is Bartimaeus. And never underestimate, Mark does not waste words. He's the shortest gospel writer. He's kind of like a hasty fifth grade writer. He actually just sort of drops necessary components for articles of speech all the time. And he leaves his hanging participles and blows off articles altogether. Mark is very much in a hurry to get everything down just as quickly as he can. He gets criticized for it sometimes, that maybe he was too hasty in his writing. But Mark doesn't waste any words. We have this man, Bartimaeus, blind man, the son of Timaeus. And it's fascinating in so many ways because Bar actually is a reference to the child of. Never underestimate that last names are still kind of a new thing. We identify separation of persons by last names now, but before they just remember that that was the person's name and they were related to these other people. So they were the son of this guy and the son of this guy and the son of this guy. Their lineage sort of established them where they were. And what's fascinating about this is that his name was Bar Timaeus, which actually literally means son of Timaeus. He was so poor, he didn't have a name. He was just the son of Timaeus. They called him the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. It was the only thing he had, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So we have a poor blind man. I mean, and Mark gets to emphasize that without having to repeat himself. He just says, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, by the way. So you know that it wasn't that they decided to call him son of Timaeus after, like, grandfather or something. He was so poor he didn't have a name. And he's blind. And he takes position on a major road, or at least what someone has told him is a major road. He's blind, it's hard to say. And he begs for everything. He has to cry out and beg for literally everything that he has. And we find ourselves in this remarkable moment. And what happens? Well, a crowd begins to gather around this area. And Bartimaeus is in the middle of it. He knows what's going on, but it's hard to figure exactly what's going on. Why is the crowd gathering? What's happening in this crowd? What's even more fascinating, of course, is that how crowds form. I mean, it's one of those things where some people start to gather and other people come over to find out why the first group is there in the first place, which starts to build on a crowd, which attracts more people to find out why they're standing there. So this crowd forms and forms and forms. And what are they waiting for? Well, Jesus is about to pass by. This holy man, this Jesus, is about to pass by. And while I'm not old enough to witness Jesus passing by, I do kind of think of what it takes to consider what it is when someone great passes by. I have had the opportunity to actually see two popes. When I was 14, I saw John Paul II in Rome. When I was 18, I saw John Paul II in Toronto, in Canada. I saw Benedict XVI in Germany about 4 years after that. It was incredible, because in all the planned events where you know the pope is going to pass by, even for a moment, the crowd presses and squeezes and tries to get as close as they can, and they push, and they forget that there are any rules for etiquette and how to treat people whatsoever. And we push and we squeeze and we try and reach past just to get that glimpse of that holy man. And that's what it's like for the Pope. I can only imagine what it was for Jesus. I imagine it was something similar to that. There's something remarkable that happens. The great press of bodies occurs. There's a smell that you can suddenly notice from all those people that you're standing, I'd love to say next to, but you're really kind of standing on top of them at that point. There's this great press as you try and get closer and closer, and they all look at you indignantly like you're the one in the way. And there's this a desperate attempt to get closer. And here's Bartimaeus trying to get to Jesus, and he can't even see. These people share a space closer than I've shared with any of my brothers, and I shared a room with all of my brothers at one point or another. And yet they're suddenly sharing a space even tighter and smaller, and they want to see. And I wonder often, did Bartimaeus know of Jesus before this moment, or did someone fill him in really quickly right then and there? Because remarkably in that moment, Bartimaeus is this incredible witness to faith. And it begins with how he wants to address him. Remember that he is the son of Timaeus. That is all he has been told. That's what he knows. He knows he's Bartimaeus. He knows he's the son of Timaeus. And who does he call for? He says, Son of David. Son of David, have pity on me. Son of David, have pity on me. And I don't even know how he's heard, because I hear lots of shouting in crowds. I rarely understand half of what's going on. But there, somehow, his voice begins to carry. His voice rises above the others and actually carries across the crowd and reaches all the way to Jesus as he's passing by. And there's this great cry out, "Son of David, Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stops. A man cries out for God. And God calls out to man. "Call him. Bring him to me." And what do they say? They say to Timaeus, this man who moments ago they were trying to silence because he was loud and he was annoying and he was troublesome. But now Jesus calls to him. And now it's, "Have courage, have faith, stand up." Jesus calls you. And there's an incredible moment. Because the blind man stands and he throws aside his cloak. Mark doesn't waste any words. Think about that for a second. The blind man threw aside his cloak, his one source of protection. The same cloak that would protect him from the hot summer winds during the middle of the day, and the same cloak that would protect him as it got very cold suddenly at night. It would get, well, they said it was bitterly cold. I dispute the term bitterly, but you know, they say it gets bitterly cold by comparison to the day. That cloak is all he has. That cloak is the one thing that is his safety. It protects him from the elements. It keeps him warm when it's cold. It is the one shroud that he can count on consistently. And the blind man throws aside his cloak. It's incredible. This great act of faith, this great witness to faith that he has. Because this throwing aside is so much more than us just forgetting something. And in crowds, things disappear. Things disappear in crowds all the time. I know this. I have an entire lost and found bin of stuff left behind in the crowd. I have car keys for at least 2 cars and about a half dozen house keys. I'm pretty sure if I wandered through Dixon long enough, I could find access to all kinds of things if I was just patient enough to go through all my keys. I have coats and umbrellas and all kinds of things that get lost in the crowd. And yet this blind man surrenders his one garment that protects him. And he throws it aside, and he casts it all aside to go to Jesus. And he stands before this one who he knows can heal him. It's not merely that he can heal him. It's not merely that he thinks, maybe it's possible if I'm lucky. He knows that he can be healed. And he stands before him, and God himself says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" He doesn't assume. He doesn't just give him something. He doesn't just try and guess it and cast him aside and step around him and go around him. No, he looks him directly in the eye and says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus, the man who has nothing, who stands before God, does not say, "If you could." He does not say, "Would it be possible?" He does not say, "If you're feeling up to it." He says, "Lord, I want to see." It's this remarkable moment, this great gift. We're in this moment, this man has shown us through his example the great act of what faith actually can do for us and where faith can take us and how it can truly inspire us to these greatness. Because in that moment, we see two incredible things that we need. The first is Bartimaeus knows that he needs God. And what a gift it is when we know that. What a truly great gift it is when we come face to face with the very simple truth that we need God. And he has the courage to say something. He has the courage more than to know that he needs God, but to actually stop and say, "I need you now." And to call out and to cry out incessantly. Even when it annoys others, even when it bothers others, even when it frustrates, he continues to call out for God, "Son of David, have pity on me." And he knows that if he holds out, God will respond. And he does. And he casts aside his security. That great challenge for us, that if we can recognize that we need God, then we have to let go of those things that are keeping us from God. We have to let go of whatever it is that makes us feel like we can be self-sufficient, whatever it is that makes us believe that we can do it all on our own, that we can be completely achieving without anyone else's assistance, that it's all on us. And when we can let go, and give ourselves completely to God. It's there in that act of faith. In that moment when we're fully ready to completely abandon anything that we have that we think we can control and completely turn ourselves over to God. And be honest enough to say, Lord, I wish to see. In that faith, God can give us anything. With that faith, we can receive the great riches and fullness of God. If we have the courage, the faith, to let go of the sins that keep us from God and ask for it.